Good morning. Welcome. It's good to have you. Good to have Brother Tyler back with us. Glad that he's doing well. It's a little loud. I've been preaching a series of sermons on the Sermon on the Mount. And this is going to be my last one. I'm not going to complete chapter 7. But I am going to talk about this first few verses of chapter 7. Matthew 7, 1 through 6. So if you're disappointed that I'm not going to finish all of that, don't judge me about that. Because the rest of the chapter, I'll just tell you, it's really about a conclusion, about applying what Jesus has said. Do it. Do the things that I've said. If you'll do the things that I've said, great. But if you don't, not so great. But these first few verses are about judging others. Matthew 7, 1 through 6, judging others. And it is in keeping with the theme that we've been talking about throughout the sermon, and that is having the heart of God. If one is in the kingdom of God, one must have the kingdom of God within, the reign of God, God's character, God's qualities, God's love, God's compassion, God's spiritual purity. That must be in your heart. And if it is in your heart, then you are in the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God. And this applies with respect to how we look at, think about, and treat other people. And that's what Jesus is talking about in the first seven verses of Matthew 7. We need to look at people and assess them the way God does. And that might sound challenging, and it's very challenging, but it is what we are called to. We are called to having the heart of God. And the heart of God does not judge others as we often judge others. And so we need to learn to judge like God judges. And your first inclination to that might say, well, I can't judge like God judges. Well, in the context of this passage, yes, you can. And you should. So let me explain what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 starts out saying, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, the thing that people so often do with this statement is they make it a blanket prohibition against judging at all, in any circumstance. Even though the people who do that say that, they don't do it. Everybody judges others, because you have to in many circumstances. And yet, if sometimes a person's doing something and you point out to them that it's wrong, they're likely to cite this passage and say, "Well, you can't judge me. Jesus said don't judge." It's like a get out of jail free card, you know. "Hey, buddy, stop beating up that old lady. Well, you can't judge me. Jesus said, don't judge." "Oh, man, I can't judge you." No, that's not what Jesus is saying. This is not a blanket prohibition against judging. What it is a statement about is judging reluctantly, though. Judging carefully, thoughtfully, mercifully, fairly. And so in a sense, it's a not but kind of thing. Don't judge, but do it this way. Judge reluctantly. You see, the problem so very often in our judging is that we are so quick to do it. We are so, you know, ready to judge. Because we are judgmental. Is another way of putting that. Merciless. Always looking to find fault in others. And so when you look at these words, do not judge or you too will be judged, you need to understand that there is a judgment that will come upon you for your judging. So that's another way of putting it. Judge with the understanding that you're going to be judged. And therefore, be reluctant. Be careful. Say, well, I don't want to do wrong in my judging of others, and therefore I need to stop and think about what it is that I'm doing because I'm going to be judged for this. Be reluctant. One of the things that brings out the flavor of understanding here has to do with, you know, it's not prohibiting judging because verse 3 requires judging, or at least it implies judging. Verse 4 implies judging. Verse 5 requires judging. And verse 6 definitely requires judging. And so Jesus is not absolutely prohibiting judging. All you have to do is read the rest of the context to know that he's not putting down a blanket prohibition against ever judging anybody for anything. That's not what Jesus is saying. And we know from all of the rest of the context of the New Testament that to be a righteous person, you have to not only assess yourself, but you have to assess others and their behavior, family, friends, fellow church members, fellow workers. We have to say what is right and what is wrong. We have to represent what is right. We have to condemn what is wrong. And that requires making judgments. You can't be a righteous person and just completely abstain from ever making a determination about other people's behavior. That's not what Jesus is asking us to do. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Look at the language. Look at the words. Do not judge. Now, that makes it sound like it's some kind of absolute statement, doesn't it? Do not judge. But if you look at the original language in Greek, it's a present active indicative. And perhaps a better translation would be, don't be judging all the time. It's a continuous thing. Always judging, always judging. Don't do that. And when thought of in that way, we understand that Jesus is saying, don't always be finding fault with people, always picking them apart. And certainly don't be hypocritical about it, where it's always about their problems and never about your problems. And you're really, all you're doing is judging. You're not really offering to help. You're not really doing anything to improve the situation. You're not encouraging. All you're doing is judging. And you never show any mercy. So if that's all you do, if that's all you do is find fault, find fault, find fault, well, don't do that. Don't be doing that. It's not constructive, not helpful, not good. It's not the heart of God. And if you do that, if you live your life that way, where you're always picking people apart, always knocking them down, never really trying to be constructive or helpful or accommodative, never trying to make peace, never trying to help, never being self-critical, just always negative about other people. If that's the case, you're going to be judged, my friend. You will be judged. So don't do that. Don't live your life that way. And we're all prone to that kind of mentality. And it drives wedges between husband and wife, between parent and child, between friend and friend and neighbors. And it's corrosive. It's destructive. So don't do it. What we ought to do is judge carefully. Rather than having a judging spirit, we should judge as we are required to, reluctantly, cautiously, carefully, but to do so fairly. That's what Jesus is talking about. Understand that when you judge someone, there's going to be a judgment made about you. And that judgment about you is, you know, anything that, any information that you use, any standard of measure that you use that you're going to use to do that judgment, you need to know that's coming back on you, my friend. That's what Jesus goes on to say, of course. In the same way, you judge others. He says, do not judge, for you too will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. Right? and the measure that's used in your assessment of others, that measurement, you're going to see it again. Because basically what you're saying is, I know that that is right, and I know that that is wrong. Well, if you're so certain that that is right and that is wrong, then you should be certain that that standard is going to be held to you. You should know that. If something's wrong for others, it's wrong for you. And I don't, you know, that's the hypocrisy part of it. I don't know how many people I've seen people. They are so hard on other people. But man, if you do the least little thing to criticize them about that same behavior, man, they will go off on you. You know, they just cannot see themselves. They will judge you and run you down all day long. But if you raise a little finger and say, "Now look here, how dare you?" Well, the same standard. You see, there's no mercy for the merciless. That's another principle that Jesus is telling us here. You know, because judging is not just about condemning. And sometimes people get that mistaken impression. They think, well, in this context, judging just means condemning. No, it doesn't. It means determining something is right or wrong. That's the meaning of the word. Deciding if it's right or wrong. And you could decide that it's right. Or you could decide that it's okay. And if you do, you know, then you've been... You should say it. You say, "That's good. What you've done there is right." And that same spirit that you're sharing with others, it will be shared to you as well. God's judgment is not just about condemning, it's also about commending. And we should use the heart of God. We should use our judgment cautiously and carefully and constructively and show mercy. Show understanding. Show compassion. God does. We rely on it. Without God's compassion, I am utterly and completely lost. Well, we should have that heart too and show that heart too to other people. And be willing to say, "You have done well, my friend. Child, I commend you. Wife, I honor you." We should do that. And if we can't do that, then man, that's not good for you. That is not good. There's no mercy for the merciless. Verse 3, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" And, you know, Jesus uses a couple of very powerful and colorful illustrations here. And this is a great one. Because the concept of it, how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," and there's a plank in your own eye? You know, you can picture it however you want to, but the idea that somebody that's got this beam of wood sticking out of their eye, going to tell you about a speck in your eye, and is going to try to help you understand that you got a speck in your eye, and explain to you that you got a speck in your eye, and help you get that speck out of your eye. That is just absurd. It is funny. It is so ridiculous. Right? And of course, it's hyperbole. It's kind of over the top, but it makes the point. It sticks in the mind. If you have a glaring problem in your life and everybody knows it, you have zero capability of helping other people with their problems, and zero business making other people's problems your problem. Judge yourself first. That's what Jesus is saying. He's not saying don't ever judge people. He's saying, hey, slow down. Be reluctant. Stop. Think about what it is that you're doing. Use the same measure. Use the same standard. Think about yourself. Be fair. But think about yourself. Look at yourself. Test yourself. Judge yourself first. That's where judgment should begin. Judgment should begin with self. Apply the same standard. Our faults may be worse. They may not be, but they may be. How do you know? Our judgment may be impaired. You know, the idea that somebody with a beam in their eye can see clearly is ridiculous. You can't see clearly. Jesus says you can't see. You can't see. You don't know what's going on in that other person's eye when you've got this beam in your own eye. Your thinking is so messed up, so convoluted. The fact that not only do you have a beam in your eye and you can't see, but you can't see the beam in your eye. You don't even know that you've got this problem. How can you think clearly enough and honestly enough and fairly enough to actually see another person's problem? That doesn't mean they don't have one. It just means that you can't help them with it. And of course, we have no influence. Jesus says, remove the beam. Now, that means that you should remove the beam. But you remove the beam, you deal with your own problem, you think about it, you assess it. Maybe you ask some people, hey, you know, what do you think of this choice that I've made? And you come to terms with it, you correct it. And then, when you can think about things properly, and you're living your life pretty well, nobody can do this perfectly. Jesus is not saying, oh, well, you need to be perfect before you can help other people with their problems. That doesn't make any sense. Jesus says, just take the beam out of your eye. And then, you can help people. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and you will see clearly to remove the speck. Brother's eye. You know, this concept that one person can really judge another person because, you know, we all have faults and problems and everybody's got their own and you just deal with yours and I'll just deal with mine. And that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, yeah, you got problems, I got problems. You know, not Jesus himself personally, but we have problems. We can deal with them. We can work on them. We can certainly ask God's forgiveness for them. And we can get to a point, and should get to a point, because we're responsible for each other, brethren. We can get to a point where we got things nailed down pretty good, that you can go to a brother or a sister, and you can say, it's not right what you're doing. Jesus is not only saying it's possible, he's saying that we should do it. First, take the plank out of your own eye. You think that's necessary? You think Jesus is putting that on us? He absolutely is. He's saying, look, you need to deal with this sin in your life. And then, you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye, which is what we want to do. But why? Why do we want to even go there? Why do we even want to trouble another person about their own sin, their own fault, or their own flaw? Well, because when somebody's got something in their eye, they got a problem. Man, I hate getting something in my eye, don't you? Something gets in your eye. Oh, man, that hurts. And you can't do anything else. You can't take care of your business. You got this thing in your eye. Oh, man, look at... I need help. Help me get this thing out of my eye. That's why we want to judge somebody else. So we can help them. Judge to help, not to hurt. It's not about making ourselves feel superior. It's not about one-upping them and saying, I'm better than you. I don't have anything. You got something in your eye. That's not what it's about. That's about helping them. You hypocrite. You know? First take the plank out of your own eye. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye, which is what we want. I want to help my brother with that speck in his eye. You know, you go to somebody and how is it done? How is it done when a speck is removed from somebody's eye? Well, it's done carefully and gently and with their cooperation. You ever try to take a speck out of somebody's eye who don't want you anywhere near them? That is not going to be a successful operation. You go to the doctor and you say, "Doctor, I've got this thing in my eye. Please help me." And you know, if he's a good doctor, he has good bedside manner. You know, he's very careful. You know, he's very looks. He doesn't get a mop and then go. You know, I mean, I've had some doctors be pretty rough with me, but a good doctor is gentle, careful. That's how we ought to help. You know, it's not about just, oh, you know, I can't judge you. I can't. Oh, you know, you got your problem, my friend, and that's your problem. No, say, look. If you like, I can help you with this. If you'll talk with me, we can look into God's Word. We can look at sage advice from God Almighty. Help you with this problem that you're having. Hurting your life. If you like, we can work on this together. I've got my own problems. I struggle with things myself. But maybe I can help you here. See, that's the right approach. It's very often not the approach people take, though, is it? Judge to help, not to hurt. It's not about who's superior. It's about saving them and us. You know, I want to be saved too. You think you can be saved by just refusing to help people with their problems? That's not going to work either. I'm not, you know, you got to get involved. Without the Spirit, though, don't bother. If your spirit is all about just condemning somebody, making yourself feel superior, and just, you know, running them down, makes you feel better about yourself, if that's what you have in your heart and in your mind, then don't judge. Yeah, and there's certain circumstances when you just need to turn around and walk the other way. If that is in your heart, if you're so filled with animosity and hatred and bile that all you can do is run somebody down and make them feel bad, then don't bother. Don't. You're not doing them or yourself any good. But if you're genuinely trying to help, try to help them. And then we have this verse, which it's about judging. I got to tell you, I don't see you can take it any other way. Matthew 7 and coming weeks, I want to talk about some sacred things. There are sacred things. Things that we should regard as holy and pure and good. And they need to be kept that way. I'll be talking about some of them. I want to talk about marriage. Marriage is sacred. I'm going to talk about life. Life is sacred. I'm going to talk about the church. The church is sacred. And I don't mean this building. Sacred things should be kept sacred. You don't give them to dogs. Pearls are expensive and valuable. You don't throw them to pigs. Well, in this context, the dogs and the pigs are people. And that seems harsh. It seems judgmental to consider someone to be a dog or a pig. Jesus is not saying you should call people dogs or pigs or that you should hold them necessarily in disdain. He's just saying, look, there are certain circumstances in which you have to make a call about the way that you use your judgment, about the way that you dispense the help that you have to give. And there are some people you cannot help. And you have to make that determination. There are some people who do not want you helping them with their problems. And you can't. So turn your attention elsewhere. That's basically what Jesus is saying. If you do, they'll trample you. If you throw your pearls to pigs, they'll trample you under their feet. Turn and tear you to pieces. It won't do them any good. It won't do you any good. It'll just end up hurting you too. And so, you know, the whole idea of taking pearls and throwing them to pigs, it seems kind of crazy. Where did Jesus get that idea? Well, the seed husks that were often fed to pigs, they had these little seeds in them that looked very much like pearls. And so you would cast those to pigs because that's what the pigs would appreciate. But they would not appreciate pearls. they bite into a pearl, and ow, you know, that I don't want that. Don't give me that. And the pig gets angry, charges at you, tries to bite you or run you over. Well, there are people in your life that you would like to be able to give them pearls of wisdom. You would like to be able to share with them the truth of God's Word. And you might try sharing a little bit of that with them, and they say, I'm not interested in that. And the more you try to give them that, the angrier they're going to get. So you back off, and you say, well, if you ever want to talk about that, let's talk about that. But, you know, if you don't want to talk about it, if it makes you angry, then I'll leave you alone. And that's a judgment you have to make. But really, it's not even a judgment you're making. It's one that they're making. So judge, you need to. And sometimes you need to. You cannot help the obstinate. You can't. Turn your attention elsewhere. And I'm not saying people can't change or that you might not bring it up from time to time, but use your judgment. You see something going down in a person's life and maybe their attitude is softening a little bit. Maybe they're starting to suffer the consequences of the foolish thing that they've been doing. And you say, you sure you don't want to talk about this? That's what you do. But you use judgment. You judge reluctantly, you judge yourself first. You judge to help, not to hurt. And you judge when you need to. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. Because we are to have the heart of God. And the heart of God wants to help. God does not judge us, condemn us because He wants to. He has to. He is the upholder of justice. But He does so reluctantly. He does so carefully, fairly. He certainly does not have flaws that He holds in Himself. And in the end, He judges because He needs to. We should try to emulate that as much as we possibly can in our life. This morning, I encourage you, at the end of our sermon, to judge yourself. Because if you can't do that, I can't help you. The Lord can't help you. You need to do that. You need to judge yourself. Is there sin in your life? Have you never gone to the Lord to ask Him to help you to remove that beam or speck from your eye? Have you never asked for His help? Have you not gone to the Lord Jesus who gave us this wonderful message? Have you not gone to Him and asked for His help? Because let me tell you something, He can help you. He can help you get all the specks and all the planks and everything else that's wrong with you. He can help you with that. He died on the cross. He bore His own plank and died for you to make it possible to help you with that. Why don't you ask for His help? He loves you. He will deal oh so gently with you. Carefully, lovingly, with mercy and compassion. But you need to judge yourself. Look at yourself. See the sin in your life and bring that sin to the Lord so that He can take it away. And we can help you. Not that we're perfect, but we can help. We can encourage. If you need to know more about what Jesus would have you to do, I'm here for you, my friend. If you're a Christian and you know you're in the wrong, you know you're living wrong, you're not doing right, look at yourself. I mean, it's so easy to look at everybody else and say, well, he's got a problem too. He's got a problem too. He's got a problem too. Yeah, we all do. We all got problems. Look at yourself, brother. Judge yourself, sister. If you need to make something right, make it right. By the mercy of God. If you want to obey the gospel this morning, being baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, or if you want to acknowledge some sin in your life, we're not here to make you feel bad. We're here to make you feel good. And you can feel good and be good in the mercy of God. If you need to do that by obeying the gospel today, come forward and say it as we stand and sing this song.